You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 288. This week, we talk about
Star Wars Celebration Orlando.
Visit WelcomeToComics.com. Hear past episodes. See what we're reading next. Or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/WelcomeToComics. And now, the cast begins.
Okay, is this a for reals podcast or a bonus episode podcast?
This can be a for reals episode. This is something we normally do as a bonus, but we're going to put it out this week because Jen's got some stuff with her schedule, and you just got back from a convention, and I am feeling lazy, so we're going to do Unbeatable Squirrel Girl next week. And this week, and we've done this in the past. Every year we tend to do a convention episode of some kind. I think when you and I went to Anaheim, we did a convention one. We've done multiples for San Diego Comic-Con before, Big Wow, that kind of thing. So we do con specials every once in a while. But I feel like this is the most special of the con specials, even though only one of us went to a con.
Okay.
Because this was not your first time trooping for the Mandalorian Mercs.
Right. This was my fourth or fifth troop as an official member and in costume.
Yeah.
Because I did some before where I was a handler, which means I just kind of like helped people in costume so they didn't like fall down or something. I mean, yeah, there's more to it than that, but.
And they need people working the tables who aren't necessarily in costume all the time, too.
Right.
But I feel like this is probably, is it safe to say this is your biggest one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Celebration definitely. Orlando.
And it was like my longest stretch of consecutive stretch of time in costume also. Because I was in costume for like on Saturday for probably like 6 hours.
Nice. How did it hold up?
So one of the things I made sure to do before I went to Celebration was bolt my armor plates onto my vest so they wouldn't like fall off.
Because
some people use Velcro, and it works for some people, but it just didn't work that well for me. Like, the Velcro didn't stick that well to my vest.
Hmm.
So the Velcro would stick to the other piece of Velcro, but the glue wouldn't stick to my vest very well. So I had a... Whatchamacallit? I had bolted it on. So that held up pretty well. One of my... knee protectors. What are they called? Knee pads. It's not really a knee pad. The armor that goes over your knee, on a Mando kit, it broke in the suitcase on the way. So I had to get it like an emergency fix done at the convention on Thursday, which is okay because I didn't actually, suit up until Saturday. Because on Saturday we had the big group photo with all the Mandalorian mercs.
Yeah.
There were like 300 of us.
I really like your helmet having the distinct like thing over the where the eyes would be because it makes it really easy to find you in that crowd. Like look for the blue bucket with the little pointy white stripes. Hey, there's David. So yeah, you were at Celebration Orlando for all 3 days or 4 days? 4 days.
Well, it's 4 days, but I didn't go on Sunday because we flew out on Sunday.
Okay, and you dressed up for one of them. You trooped. What is it?
Right.
Like,
so
what's the phrase? You put your kit on. You trooped.
Yeah, we call it trooping. But Thursday I worked in the Mercs booth at the information table, so we had a really big booth this year, and one of the sections of the booth was the info table where people could come up and ask questions about the club and like assembling armor and that kind of thing. So I did that for a few hours on Thursday. And Friday I kind of walked around the convention and hung out with my son. And then Saturday I, I trooped. So.
How awesome is it that 2 years ago we went to Anaheim and we thought the booth was cool and we went to a panel and we were like, that doesn't seem too hard. Now you're like, our booth.
Yeah, like, it's interesting. That's awesome. It's fun to be part of it. Like, so this convention was one of the worst organized conventions I've ever been to.
Which is so weird, because the one in Anaheim was, like, flawless. That was one of the best I've ever been to.
Yeah. I felt Anaheim was, it was really, you know, there were lines, but they weren't bad. Like, it was easy. You know, we didn't have to wait that long to get in on Thursday, and then the rest of the weekend, we didn't have to wait at all. We just, like, walked in every day.
Yeah.
But on Thursday, they had one door open to let people into the convention. So I didn't know that was going to be the case when I woke up Thursday morning. So I was thinking it would be like Anaheim. So the doors opened at 10. My shift in the Mercs booth wasn't until noon. So I figured I could get there around 9. I'd get in there by, you know, 10 or 11 at the latest. And, you know, I would get in no problem. Well, so I ended up getting there a little bit late. I got there around 10, got in line at 10:30 or 10:15, 10:30, but I didn't actually get into the convention until 12:30. So I was in line for 2 hours.
Ugh.
And the line was outside in the Florida heat. It was like 80 degrees. And it was just, it was bad. I mean, tons of people in the Mercs were late to their booth shifts.
Yeah,
because of this line. and it, you know, it worked out. It ended up not greatly impacting anything, but man, it was like super annoying. And the next day they opened up more doors and I didn't have to wait in line to get in. But, and like, I didn't go to any panels because it was kind of, you know, you had to, they were doing, like, wristbands for all the panels.
Well, like, for each panel had its own wristband?
Right. And yeah. So people would line up in the morning and just get wristbands. And so if you didn't get a wristband early in the morning, you just didn't go to any panels.
Oh, that sounds kind of, that doesn't sound good. Because then the whole first part of your day is just spent in lines. And I mean, I guess you front load it so then you're out in lines later, but they're like, then you're just in lines instead of out enjoying the con.
But I mean, like when we went to Anaheim, you could just like look at the schedule and you could tell like which ones were going to be the really.
The big ones.
The big ones. And I mean, like the 40th anniversary panel and the Last Jedi panel. Those ones you assume that there's going to be a line. Those are the ones that people camp out overnight for.
Yeah.
But if you want to go to like, you know, one about, you know, one of the clubs where they're just talking about the club, you know, you didn't have to wait in line for that before.
Those tend to be really good panels too. Like I remember last year, you took me to a panel that had the author of the Tarkin book. And I hadn't even read the book. I'd never even heard of the author, but that was a really good panel. He did a really great job of engaging the audience. And it was like Sunday, halfway through the day. Like most people were kind of gone, but it was a small room anyway. And you knew it wasn't going to be the big of a panel, but man, that was a good one.
Yeah. And then like we went to the Rebels panel in Anaheim. We were just able to get in line and get line up like half an hour before and we got in. That was impossible this time.
Yeah.
and then like So the Thrawn, the new Thrawn novel came out the week of the convention, and there was a
convention-exclusive cover,
right?
There
was a convention-exclusive cover of Thrawn. It was textless. There was no text on the jacket. And they were sold. There were two booths that had it, the Barnes & Noble booth and the Random House booth, and they were both completely sold out by, like, 2 o'clock on Thursday. And so the problem with this is that they had Timothy Zahn, the author, scheduled to do signings throughout the weekend. Like, he had one signing a day or something like that. But the only way to do it was to have a copy of Thrawn.
Yeah.
After Thursday, there was no way to buy a copy. The Barnes & Noble, I went on Thursday to get a copy, and I asked the guy at the Barnes & Noble booth, are you going to bring any more copies in? They said, no more con exclusives. And they might bring some of the Barnes & Noble exclusive ones.
Why would you not?
Which ended up not happening.
That's so dumb. Why would you not?
They, like, sold out of books. Like, on Saturday, the Barnes & Noble booth was, like, a wasteland. There was nothing.
You have one of the most popular extended universe authors of Star Wars, like, ever, pre-new canon, and now, mm-hmm. too, probably with Thrawn. Timothy Zahn is a fantastic writer. I'm willing to bet Thrawn is a great book. Like, why would you not bring as many copies as you can? Because I'm willing to bet there's tons of people like you who flew in, who didn't want to bring their book from home, because who knows what condition it's going to be in from flying over there. Or maybe you were expecting to be able to buy one at the show. You know?
Yeah, I thought it wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, and it's extra weight to travel with on the way over there. If you're probably going to want to buy one there anyway. Like, you have to figure that most people aren't going to be locals and account for the fact that they're going to want to buy a copy and not necessarily want to drive out to a Barnes & Noble brick-and-mortar location after the show is over to get a goddamn book. Oh, that's infuriating. That's terrible planning.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only group that or vendor that kind of that I thought handled the their convention exclusives in a reasonable way was Lego. So what Lego did was they sent an email out to everyone who had bought a pass online, and they said, you know, we have a limited number. We're gonna have a limited number every day. You can sign up. Follow this link, sign up for the lottery, and if you get a time slot, then show up at that time slot with your email, and you can buy a thing. And then if at the end of the day, after 4, if there's any left for that day, then anyone can try to buy one. You know, I signed up. I didn't get a spot, but at least it was kind of fair.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, the thing about convention exclusives, you know, from a business standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me in some regard. Like, say you're Hasbro, right, and you release a convention exclusive action figure, and you have a limited number for one convention. People are going to go and buy them at whatever your price is, MSRP, and they're going to turn around and sell them for 3, 4, maybe, you know, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 times as much online. Well, you know, people are going to, if you just brought a ton of them to the convention and, like, everybody who wanted one was able to get one, you'd sell them all. And then, you know, if you have some left over, people are going to want to buy them online. You're going to make money off of them. But instead, people are going to, you know, other people are going to be making that money by selling them on the secondary market. Like, there was an exclusive, like, Luke action figure.
Yeah, it's Luke and his X-Wing pilot.
Right. And so there were vendors in the, you know, like, the collect, you know, the guys who sell, like, collectibles and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of them were offering $50 for that figure. And they were just going to turn. They were going to turn around and put them on the shelf and sell them for even more.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous. I think, yeah, I mean, you're mentioning Hasbro, but Hasbro generally has a pretty good system, I think. So Hasbro will have an exclusive, usually, that this year was an exception. Usually they'll have an exclusive that comes with bonus props that then they will later release without the props. So, like, when we were at Anaheim, they released a Kylo Ren that came with a First Order banner. And then, like, 2 months after the convention, you could buy that exact Kylo, but he didn't come with the banner. And then last year in London, it was Obi-Wan. It was Old Man Obi-Wan with the hologram of Leia on a table. And then 2 months later, you could buy Old Man Obi-Wan, but the Leia on a table, the hologram Leia, wasn't there. And then next year, they're going to do Thrawn with, like, Thrawn's, like, Captain's Room background. So mm-hmm. you'll be able to get Thrawn probably 2 months after the convention, but not the background. So Hasbro tends to do a good job of, like, they add on just, like, a little touch. So if you really want the banner, you're going to have to pay the premium price. Sure, but if you just want Kylo, Kylo's going to be part of their main line. And this year, I think it's Hasbro and their retailers have had a problem with communication the last couple of years. Because that Pilot X-Wing is going to be part of Wave 2 of the 40th anniversary Black Series vintage kind of thing. So in like 6 months, he's going to be in Toys R Us.
Yeah.
But they haven't told a lot of people that. And all they're really doing is preying on people who are either not knowledgeable or just want to be the ones to get it now and don't want to wait. Mm-hmm. And I understand some people just want to get it now, but man, it's a $20 figure and you're going to be paying over $100. I don't know. I feel like you're paying that because you don't know.
I just Googled it. I did a quick eBay search for the figure and it's $80.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Kotobukiya, I think, does an okay job. They do a pre-sale. So if you can't go to the convention, they sell a batch online. And they tell you that these are all getting shipped out. And they if you buy it on the website before the show, you cannot pick it up at the show. It's a completely separate order, and they will ship it to you. And their website specifically says, please do not buy this if you're going to the convention. Like, this is for people who can't make it.
I think the organization was not great for this convention. But I also think, I don't know, maybe they didn't really be like, maybe there were more people were just buying stuff. Like Kodo, they sold out of stuff pretty quickly. By the end of the weekend, they didn't have many statues left. They only had like, I think they only had like the First Order Stormtrooper 2-pack, stuff that you can get, like, anywhere, really. Not convention exclusives. But even the non-convention ones sold out pretty quick, which was, I thought was interesting. And a lot of the stuff that, even the stuff that wasn't convention exclusives, but the convention was the debut, those sold out really fast, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I got the Shore Troopers, or the Scarif Shore Trooper, whatever you want to call them, that 2-pack. And I got that on I went to the Kodo booth on Thursday to buy the Shore Troopers and then the two Astromechs you wanted, Andy.
Yeah, my little droids.
And by the next day, those droids were both sold out, and the Shore Troopers were sold out. Because I went back because I thought, oh, I should have got the K2SO. But he was sold out also. But, I mean, he wasn't a convention exclusive. It was just the Astromechs that were exclusives, but...
And I'm telling you, unless you want the statue in that scale to go with your Shore Troopers, the Black Series K2SO is actually hella good. I know we slammed Black Series a couple times on this podcast, but the Black Series one for K2 is pretty good.
I'm sure I'll buy the K2 eventually. Because it, like I said, it's not convention exclusive. It was just debuted at the convention.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
So anyway, I want to get back to your Mando Merc experience.
Okay.
So you've done this a couple times. You've been a Merc for a little while now. What is your character's name?
So my character's name. So you can make it up, and you can kind of make, like, I found some name generators and stuff, but I did like some random Star Wars names, but I never really liked the ones. There were some that I kind of liked, but I thought of, after a while I started thinking about things that I found inspiring or that I liked. So I ended up, my character's first name is Char.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's based on the Gundam character. My character doesn't have any red in his costume or anything like that, but I just think that sounds really cool. And the last name is Jakura, which is just a Swarzy sounding name. I don't think it means anything. So that's just the name I made up for my character.
And your character has to have a name because of some legal thing with LucasArts or Lucasfilm or something, right?
I'm not sure if there's a reasoning behind the name.
Yeah,
it's just like everybody makes names.
Okay. So I don't even think we've had this discussion. Your kit is mostly blue, right?
Yeah.
With silver and white.
Silver and white.
And I know.
And black also.
Yeah, the flight suit underneath is black, right?
No, my flight suit is navy blue. Like my belt is black, and all my ammo pouches are black.
Okay.
So yeah.
Did you pick blue? Because I know in the Mandalore thing, some of the colors have a meaning and all that kind of stuff. Or did you just pick it because it looks cool?
No, I didn't pick it for any particular meaning. What's interesting is actually all the like preliminary drawings I made. So let me back up. When I first started planning my kit, one of the suggestions that was made to me was pick five colors, and kind of, you know, as a place to start. So the blue and the white and stuff and the silver. Well, the silver is just supposed to be like the metal color, but the blue and the white were not colors I had picked initially. None of my preliminary drawings look like the way my kit ended up looking.
Is it just because as you were working on it, your kind of vision for it evolved?
Yeah, yeah. And somehow, like, people... it kind of looks like the Scottish flag a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I
like the way that the lines are drawn on my... on the chest. I didn't plan it that way, but somebody pointed it out, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. It does. So, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it worked out. It kind of evolved organically, okay. I guess you could say.
Now, you're a creative type on a certain level, and you're a nerd.
Yeah, sure. I guess so.
Do you have headcanon for your character?
Oh, man. So... I wrote a little short story at one point. It doesn't really have like the background of my character. It doesn't tell his backstory or anything. It's just like one adventure that he went on, where he was supposed to. I don't even remember. I haven't read it in such a long time. But I wrote it in my. I have it on Google Drive somewhere. Maybe I'll share it with you guys,
dude. If you want to, we can do it up and we can make it like a. Like an audio story. I'll go find some sound effects. Do like a radio drama.
Oh, I have to edit it because he has a different... His last name is different. Was different when I wrote this.
If you still like it, we'll talk about making like a radio drama out of it. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things... I wrote this before I finished, so... Whatchamacallit? I wrote this before I finished my kit. So some of the things that it talks about didn't make it into my kit, but they're things I want to do at some point. And one of the characters, so the story is about a bounty hunt, and the bounty hunt, he's hunting a character from a side character from the Lost Stars novel. Because cool. I had just read the Lost Stars novel when I wrote this. And so it makes reference to somebody. It just drops a name, and then it uses a planet that is in the story in that novel.
And your guy is Mandalorian, I'm guessing? Mandalorian born and bred?
Yeah, he's Mandalorian.
Yay.
Human Mandalorian. Yeah, I'll share it with you. It's not like amazing. I haven't read it in like months.
No, I know, but that's the way I am with stuff. Like, I'll write something quasi-creative just on a whim because I'm bored at work, and then I'll go back to it, like, a couple months later just because I'm, like, clearing out my Google Drive. I'm like, oh, God, this is so bad. It's always, like, my constant reaction to my creative work is, like, what the fuck was I doing here? This is so stupid. That's me being, like, overly self-critical, I think, sometimes. But, yeah, that was something I was excited. When we went to that panel 2 years ago and they were talking about, like, your character and your personalization, I think it's something you and I both latched onto, how it's not like the 501st where it has to be like, this is what the Royal Guard looks like and there's no deviation or you're disqualified.
Yeah, I mean, we have some, there are some rules that qualify you to be Mandalorian. Like you have to have the chest diamond, the T-visor, At a minimum, you have to have the same amount of armor as Boba Fett does in the movies, because his armor is considered light armor,
mm-hmm.
which mine is. So mine is the chest, which consists of 5 pieces, which is like the collar, the chest diamond, the 2 chest pieces, and the belly plate. And then gauntlets or vam bracers or bracers, whatever you want to call them.
Hmm.
A cod piece, some kind of cod piece. It doesn't.
Heyo. It can,
yeah. the knee armor and a back covering. So it could be a cape, it could be a back plate, it could be a jet pack, whatever you want it to be. So like mine is just a back plate for now. My goal was to make a simple kit. Get into the mercs and then upgrade my kit. So I have some ideas of what I want to do to my kit now that I've seen a lot of cool ones at Celebration. But mine is enough to get me into the, become an official member.
Yeah. I see the ones that have like bone incorporated, like tusks and shit. And I'm like, oh man, that is cool and way above my craft level, at least as of now. And then I'm also thinking like in terms of my character, that'd be too savage.
If you go to the Mercs website, oops, I accidentally deleted it. Hold on. If you go to the Mercs website, which is MandalorianMercs.org, and you go to Get Involved, there's something called Costume Requirements, and it tells you the different eras of armor you can make. So the ones that are made of bone are called early. It's called early armor, and mine is... Boba Fett's is considered modern. And then there's also Crusader and Neo-Crusader that are different eras in Star Wars history. So, like, this one... So the Mandalorian, we draw it from the what's considered Legends now, so the old EU.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a ton of Mandalorian stuff in the new canon. I mean, Boba's in it, Jango's in it still, and there's the stuff from...
Stuff from Clone Wars.
Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not nearly as much as what was in the Extended Universe canon.
Right.
Because exactly. that for Mandalore was super deep, with Mandalore the Ultimate and all that kind of stuff, and that's all sort of up in the air right now. It's interesting, though, because there's stuff like that I hear leaking out about, like, a new Knights of the Old Republic, and they've made Revan in the toy figure line, so they're obviously not against... bringing callbacks for the EU, like...
Right, so what I think people, you know, when Disney said the old EU was no longer canon, I think what the conclusion a lot of people jumped to was that it would never be canon again. It was just completely wiped out. But that I'm noticing that's not the case, because they're bringing things back into canon, like Thrawn, for example. Was not canon.
And Timothy Zahn said they didn't give him any character direction. So I read an interview, he was saying, like, it's the exact same character, just written in a different era of Star Wars.
Right, they brought him back in. They brought him back in Rebels. And now he's in... Now there's the novel before. There's the novel, which... the novel, I started reading it, I'm not done with it yet, but it explains how he... how this Chiss military tactician became part of the Empire. Because the Chiss are still in the unknown regions. So Thrawn is like the only Chiss that almost anyone has ever seen from the...
Yeah, at this point. Yeah. Yeah, because they were part of the Sith Empire, but then when that fell, now there's... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that part about the Sith Empire is currently not in the canon, but it
which is funny because you can play it in Old Republic, which is still a live game.
But I mean, there's no, you know, there's nothing saying that it won't come back into the canon at some point.
Yeah, and like you and I talk about when in terms of canon and not canon and major events, like, if you enjoy it, it's not like it stops existing. It's not like you stop reading it. And just because the events in the Star Wars The Old Republic video games are no longer canon, and in KOTOR, doesn't mean those aren't great games, and you can't still enjoy the stories and still enjoy that take on this universe.
Exactly. I mean, it's
like I love that game.
It's like with comics, right? I mean, non-Star Wars comics, right? You have like the Elseworlds stuff and What If and all these just different alternate timelines and things. So it's still there to enjoy, just because it's not. I mean, even when the old EU was being created, George Lucas would say that he wasn't
real.
Against that stuff, but it wasn't his Star Wars, you know, it wasn't necessarily in the same universe as the movies and things like that. But people put it together, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can enjoy these kinds of things in however you want to, in the way you want to enjoy them.
So. Man, talking about George Lucas, it's kind of neat that whatever he says is canon, whether he cares about it or not. Like there was an interview, who's he doing the interview with? I think it was Conan O'Brien, and he gives one of the characters from one of the movies a middle name. God, I wish I remember that story. But then I was actually watching live the live stream of Celebration Orlando, and Filoni was giving an interview. And apparently George walks in to the writer's room, or no, not even that, like George is walking by Filoni, or they're in the elevator together or something. And Lucas is like, we should bring Darth Maul back. And Filoni's like, you're joking, right? And Filoni explains, like, you know, one of the things I really liked when I saw that movie is that they cut him in half. And there's no question that he was definitely dead and gone. And George wants to bring him back for shigs.
Well, yeah, I mean, in Rebels, you watch Obi-Wan.
Yeah, kill him. No. In the Clone Wars, when they first resurrect him from being down the shaft. And Filoni asked her, so how do you want to happen? Like, do you have any ideas? And George is like, no, you'll figure it out. I love that. The idea that this guy just walks in and decides he wants canon to be that Darth Maul comes back and leaves it for Filoni to figure out. Like, it's fantastic and horrifying all at the same time, I guess. I guess horrifying if you're the writer. Like, how the fuck do I bring back somebody who was cut in half?
Star Wars.
And I love that they still never explain it. Right? Because all they say... All they say in the show is that he was sustained by his hatred. What the fuck does that mean? You were cut in half!
Well, I mean, it's like they're all space... It's about space wizards, right? So why not?
Yeah. What the hell? I mean, why not? You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Filoni, the Mercs always does a thing at Celebration called the Mercs Bash, which is like a party for all the Mandalorian Mercs.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dave Filoni was the guest speaker at the Bash this year.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, and you can actually watch the video if you go to the Mercs Facebook page, there's a link to it. Yeah, it's not like a secret special thing, but it was really cool. He talked about how he really appreciates the Mandalorian Mercs Costuming Club because of how passionate everybody is about the Mandos. And that's why he's trying to do right by them. So if you watch Rebels, Sabine's storyline,
is hella good.
It's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, and I, Filoni is one of the people that I generally looked up to as a creator. Cause like, and there was some panel I was watching too later on where he's just there talking with the panel and all of a sudden a bunch of clones come in. Like somebody thought, oh, hey, Filoni's doing something. All the clone costume people go in from 501st and they just start walking in. He's like, I fucking love this, man.
The guy, from that panel who was playing Captain Wolf, the guy in the Captain Wolf, or Commander Wolf, Captain Wolf, the guy cosplaying as that is actually in, our local Mercs group.
Oh, he's in the Wolves?
Well, yeah, he's a Wolves. He's a Mandalorian. He was a Mandalorian first, and then his second costume was Captain Wolf.
That's awesome.
Or Commander Wolf. I always forget if he's a captain or commander. It's
Commander Wolf.
Yeah, so he's the guy up on stage with Filoni.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
It's funny, actually, at the Bash, there was a guy cosplaying as Dave Filoni. So Dave Filoni often wears this Commander Wolf t-shirt. It has the Wolf Pack clone logo on it. It's like a gray shirt with the logo. Mm-hmm. And he wears that hat. And he has
his got a signature hat.
So there was a guy at the bash dressed like Dave Filoni. He had a similar hat. He had the Commander Wolf t-shirt, and he had a beard. And so before we knew that Filoni was going to be the guest speaker, we saw this guy, and I thought, hey, that guy is dressed as Dave Filoni. That's funny. And so then I went to get, we had like hors d'oeuvres and stuff, so I went to get some food, and I saw actual Dave Filoni. And I came back to my table with and sitting with my friends, and I was like, hey, did you guys see Dave Filoni's here? And they were like, no, that's a guy cosplay. He goes, Dave Filoni. I said, no, Dave Filoni is actually here. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. You know, I mean, I complained a lot earlier about the convention, but I really had a great time. But it was mostly because I got to hang out with the Mercs, you know. I got to do the costuming thing, which, you know, even thinking back to when we went to San Diego Comic Con in 2010, remember we stopped by the 501st table to, like, learn about costuming? And, you know, it took me 6 years, but I finally got it.
Well, and I feel like the 501st are fantastic, and I feel like they're a great ambassador of the cosplay community to the general public, because of all the great work that they do out in the community, like children's hospitals and fundraisers, and I mean they're fantastic, but at the same time they're intimidating to get into, not just because they are such a big presence. But the requirements are really strict, and they are a serious club on a lot of levels. And that's why I think we didn't really get into it until we found out about the Wolves of the Mandalorian Mercs, because they are open and inviting, and the requirements are much looser, and they encourage the creativity, the kind of things that help you kind of grow into a better cosplayer. The restrictions weren't there. Like 501st will be as helpful as they can be, but at the end of the day, you have to meet a huge list of requirements. And it's tough. And I think when we went to a panel where they started making the costume during the panel for somebody in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had started like molding panels and shit already, and they're like, oh, they're like halfway done with the front pieces.
Like, we did a troop at UC Santa Cruz. I think it was in March. And they had like a little, I guess not really, I guess what you could call it, a little like local con for the college. And we did that again. We talked about the club, and while we were talking, we made a set of armor for some guy, and we just picked a person out of the audience, who was about the size of the templates we had brought. And afterwards at the end, we were like, okay, here, you can just keep this. Come to an armor party and we'll finish your armor for you. We'll help you finish, you know? So it's really, you can get it. You can get the main pieces of your armor cut out and shaped in like a day.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. I mean, I don't want to say that it's easy. You have to put in some work to get it done, but it's a lot more accessible, I think.
It's nothing compared to, because I think I got put off, especially from the 501st, because if I'm going to make any any Imperial costume, it's going to be a fucking Snowtrooper, because I love the shit out of Snowtroopers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like one of the absolute most difficult kits to build. And it's like, it's such a task.
What's cool about the other thing I tell people too is, you know, with the Mercs, it can be relatively inexpensive to build a kit. The only thing that I straight up like bought was my helmet. Everything else, well, that's not true. I mean, I like my flight suit is a Dickies coverall, which I bought. That was like $40. But you know, everything else I put together with the help of people in the Wolves of Mandalore, which is our local clan. And it took me a while, but I didn't spend that much money on it. And I think it's a great way to get started in Star Wars costuming. it's not the only way. I mean, like, a Jedi is relatively inexpensive also, but if you want to have, like, armor, like a full cover head-to-toe costume, then Mandalorian is an easier way to go.
Yeah.
Or less expensive. I mean, you can buy, like, a TK costume. And there's nothing wrong with buying your costume. Whatever gets you to where you want to be in regards to costuming is that's the way for you to go. Whatever you think is the best way for you.
Yeah. If you have constrained time and you want to buy a costume and troop with them at a children's hospital, nobody's going to shy on you for that.
Right. But if you want to be creative and express some of your individuality in your costume, a Merc is the way to go, I think.
Dude, especially if you're somebody like us who likes great, like I was talking about Old Republic a couple minutes ago, and I have like a dozen characters in that game, and I have headcanon for every single one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and like we were, when we left Anaheim, I had headcanon already in place for my Mando that I was thinking about making. And I, it's been 2 years and I have not gotten off my ass. But man, if I ever do, I'm set. I got my headcanon done. I just don't have a name. That was always the problem for me writing in creative writing classes too when we were in college, is I would be able to come up with a story, but I would suck at names so bad.
Yeah, because it seems like whatever name you pick is like too... For me, it was like, oh, this name is... It's too obvious, or there's too many characters with this name.
Yeah, or like, this just sounds lame. Except then, I always think that when I think of a name, and then I have to realize, like, one of my favorite characters in all of the Star Wars universe is Cad Bane. And that's the most obvious name ever.
Yeah.
He's a Cad. Yeah. And he's the Bane of the Jedi and the show. Like, it's literally the most obvious thing you could make. But he's a phenomenal character. And because he's such a good character, it makes the name work. So, I just got to get over that hump. Just get past it. Oh, man. If I had the money and I was thin enough to pull it off, I would make a Cad Bane costume in a fucking second.
Yeah, I'm too. So I don't have awesome. The right body shape for Cad Bane.
Yeah, he is super thin. Well, I mean, he's a Duros. Most of them are.
What's cool too is like, you know, going and seeing all these other people in costume makes me want to make other costumes. Like, I really want to make a Jedi Temple Guard. I think that would be awesome. There's a character from Clone Wars called Reiko Hardeen.
Yeah.
You remember Reiko, who Obi-Wan.
Yeah, like, it's how he infiltrated the bounty hunting group.
Yeah, I think he is cool. I really like his costume, so I kind of want to do that too.
Oh man, Embo's cool. Embo would be fun to do.
Yeah,
with the hat.
And then there's also like, you know, I still really want to do an AT-AT driver, and now I want to do a the Imperial tank driver from Rogue One.
The hover tank guy.
Yeah. It's funny that they call him a hover tank, because if you watch the show, the movie, it doesn't actually hover.
Yeah.
It has treads. I think it's one of those things where, you know, it was made before the movie was released, the movie was finished. So like Jyn Erso on a lot of the toys is called Sergeant Jyn Erso, but in the movie she never has any rank. So.
Oh yeah. I didn't put that together.
Yeah.
See, I think the other one I would make would be, not Obi-Wan, but like the kind of Jedi general from Clone Wars, where they have the robe, but then they also have the shoulder armor pieces and the van bracers. Like that, I think that's the sickest look. Because just a Jedi with the robes, and it's just like, you're just wearing robes. It's not that, like, it doesn't come off as feeling cool to me. But you add those couple pieces of armor, and it's like, oh yeah, that guy is a badass.
Yeah, there's actually a guy who cosplays as Mace Windu, who we know through costuming, and he wasn't, I think he's working on a Mando now, but he used to come to our armor parties and stuff to make the armor to go with his Mace Windu costume, like the bracers and everything. And so then he was at Celebration and he was wearing, you know, he was armored Mace Windu, which was pretty cool. Yeah. So, you know, it's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's cool. This weekend is Silicon Valley Comic Con for us here locally. I'm going to go to one panel. They're doing the kind of thing where they have premiere panels. So they have the general admittance when the panel's there, and then they have, like, the special panels. So my wife and I are going to go to the TNG 30th anniversary reunion panel.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which is nice. We can pay for just that panel. We don't have to pay for the whole day or the whole weekend. We can just go and see that only, which is great for us.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll be around the Mercs booth. Yeah. We'll have a Wolves of Mandalore table, and I'll be hanging around there. And I'll be in costume at least part of Saturday, because there's a Star Wars cosplay meetup and photo shoot on Saturday.
Ooh. What time do you think? I would love to get a picture with you in your armor.
So the meetup is at 2 o'clock, okay. I think.
The panel is 10:30 to 12. So we won't be able to get into the area where you guys are, because we won't be buying passes for the day.
Okay, yeah, so
I was going to say I'll text you, but I don't know if you'll have your phone readily available.
I actually figured out a way to successfully hide my phone in my costume.
Hey.
So the meetup is at 2, and it's in front of the convention center. It's okay. Not actually inside the con. So if you come around at 2, I should be outside in front.
Okay. I don't know if we can swing that. I'll text you. We'll see if we can line stuff up. And then we have a couple days until then still, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like this is going to be the last time you're going to be wearing your kit locally, so I'll have other opportunities. Yeah. But your kit is cool, and I want a picture with it.
You know what's funny? Like, after seeing so many other cool kits, I think, man, my kit needs some work.
You know what? Maybe, but I like your kit. Because it's yours, and because I think you're cool, and I think your kit is cool.
No, I guess that came out wrong. I love my kit, but I think it needs more, like, I need more accessories.
But that's what they were telling us from the first day when we were talking to them. Like, you're going to always want to do more. We were in the line. Oh, we were in line in Anaheim to take our pictures in the Millennium Falcon set that mm-hmm. they had built, and we were in line in front of a Mando, and he was like, man, you always want... Like, as soon as you finish your first kit, you want to make another one the right way. Or you want to add stuff to it. You want to do more.
You know what? He was at Celebration again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I talked to him, and we were both in kit. And his kit is almost the same as I remember it. But, I want to make a backpack of some kind. Yeah. Not a jetpack, but, like... So one of the things they have in Mandalorian Mercs is they have the idea of brigades. And what brigades are is you can kind of specialize your character. So they have, like, a brigade for medics. Ooh. So one of my friend Brad, who's in Wolves of Mandalore, is a paramedic in real life. And so he made a medic Mando. And so he has, like, first aid kits and, like, he has, like, medical equipment built into his kit.
That's cool.
And there's, like, sniper kits and, like, urban assault brigade, and there's all kinds of different ones. And so if you can like specialize your Mando to be, you know, to be in a brigade.
That's pretty
And the brigades have their own special requirements. Like, if you want to be a communications person, you have to have an antenna, for example, somewhere on your kit.
Is there like a heavy weapons brigade? Because I feel like that's what my guy would be.
Oh yeah, there absolutely is.
Yeah.
If you go into the costume requirements, there's, you can find information about brigades.
Cool.
Oh, here we go. Brigade requirements. Let me see. There's a special weapons group, and then there's a heavy weapons. And so for heavy weapons, you need, like, I think you need full, like, heavy armor. So you need, like, leg armor and bicep armor and stuff. And then you need a weapon like a flamethrower or a rocket launcher or, you know, like a minigun.
Yeah, I was going, my headcanon, the main one is a grenade launcher.
Oh, dude, there was a guy, a merc at the booth who, somebody had built a minigun for their clan, and because he was the only one from their clan, they let him bring the minigun. And it's, and so it's powered by, like, it's a drill. So you just pull the trigger on the drill, and it's, like, hidden enough so it's not obviously a drill, but it makes the minigun spin.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's very cool.
Oh, man, now I gotta go back. There was, I was at a thrift store the other day, and there was a Nerf Vulcan, like the fully automatic Nerf one that has, like, mm-hmm. the bandolier feed. Oh, I should have bought it. It was, like, $25.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that you start to do once you get into this, is you start to look for things like that. You think, oh, I could work this into my costume, or this would make a cool thing for my costume, you know?
Oh, okay.
It's fun.
We gotta wrap this up, or I am going to get serious FOMO and go start, like, it'll be exactly what happened 2 years ago. I will get super excited about a kit and a character and want to make it, and then just never find the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, we gotta wrap this up. If you like this show, actually go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, become a patron. This is a really long form version of what we kind of do. Most of our bonus episodes, if you become a patron every month-ish, you get access to a bonus episode. It's just the stuff we kind of chat about before and after the show. And it tends to be stuff like this, talking about David's experience as a Mando now, or Jen, who has been living in Germany for the last year, and some of her experience there. And they're really great episodes. So patreon.com/welcometocomics. If you go there, just for a penny, there's different levels that you can sign up for, but if you sign up for just a penny, you get access to those bonus episodes. I think they're pretty good. They're pretty funny, usually. This last one that came out last week, you could learn about my arch nemesis named Grant that is not Jen's husband. I posted something about having an arch nemesis named Grant, and he was like, well, I was unprepared for this. Time to ramp up for a nemesis war. I was like, no, 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 no. You're like a ninja. Please, no. So, yeah. Patreon.com/welcometocomics. Yeah, sorry about not doing Unbeatable Squirrel Girl this week. It will definitely be here next week, rain or shine. So welcometocomics.com. On the left, you hit future shows. They'll show you what we have coming up to episode 300. I have no idea what we're going to do at 300. It's going to be something weird and magical, I hope. Fingers crossed. And you can also listen to our previous 287 episodes. There's a past episodes button. There's a contact button. You can contact us. I know, 287. It's so weird, David, because I listen to other shows, and they talk about having been around for so long, and they're like, oh, man, 160 episodes. And I'm like, fool, that ain't nothing. Come back to me in 2 years. Just nuts. I love doing the show with you. And Jen. Don't worry about Jen.
It's fun.
Yeah, but anyway, that's all that stuff. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.